Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. My guest today is Brandon Brown, and we've spent a lot of today talking about your past.
Yeah.
But now I kind of want to shift to something a little bit more fun, maybe a little less controversial, which is your present, being a wedding photographer, which is how we met, because you are going to shoot my wedding in 22 days.
I'm very excited about it, too.
We're going to have so much fun. That was such a relief when we met to do the engagement photos. And because, you know, it's like you said, you're a professional third wheel for the best, you know, people's best day of their lives, hopefully.
Hopefully.
We'll get to some of those stories. But when we hit it off as easily and quickly as we did, that I was like, oh, this is going to be so much fun to have you spend the day with us. And because we're going to do, you know, we're going to do fun things. And it's not just going to be the venue. Like, we're going to jump in your little white car. We're going to go take some pictures around Milwaukee. So how did that even happen? Because I mean, doesn't seem like the logical next step, but I don't even know what a logical next step after being a pastor would be if you're going to keep doing it.
When I went into it, I thought I was going to do it for life. I thought I was a lifer, right? So then the previous generation, lots of people that were pastors ended up as like salesmen, and it makes sort of sense.
Oh.
But like, I was always a little bit weird in how I was a pastor, and that like I did a lot of creative things in my role that I didn't need to. Like, once I filmed an entire feature-length movie with just middle school students that we, like, wrote a script and we, like, filmed it, multiple cameras, and we edited it. It took, like, a long time. But then I broke it up into, like, series. It's like, in retrospect, like, nothing about that was pastoral, like, that it implicit to being a religious person, right? It was me doing something that I loved and, like, just doing it as the way I did my job. So I had a lot of experience with cameras. I'd taken photos literally all over the world because on like missions trips and stuff, I'd taken my camera along, and like it was a hobby and I knew a lot about cameras. And like, it was kind of an epiphany. I was walking through some friend's house. I'm like, their wedding photos suck. And they think their wedding photos suck too. Like, they're complaining.
They're not happy about it.
And like, I know the budget for like elite wedding photographers because I had these friends in California that were really good wedding photographers. And I'm like, maybe I'll never be as good as them, but there's got to be a market between like sucks and like world-class photography, and if I can hit that market, maybe I can make a middle-class living, right? That's the dream.
So it was specifically, it wasn't just like, oh, you liked photography, but it was, when you thought about it, like, oh, this could be my career, it was specifically wedding photography.
That's what I had imagined initially. Like, okay. I mean, I take pictures of lots of things, but
totally
the idea of like trying to sell prints of somewhere, like, I live in a part of Wisconsin that I would have to work really hard to capture, like, you know, if I lived in California or Colorado, maybe could go shoot some mountains and have a great time hiking around and capture the, you know, be there and catch them at sunset and sell those prints, right? There's not as much of a market for, say, you know,
the Milwaukee River.
Milwaukee River that's going to, you know, make you...
the Pewaukee Lake.
Yeah, middle class. They're important to some people, and rightfully so, right? But like, not quite the same.
That is as much... natural. I mean, we have a lot of natural beauty, but not maybe. But we also have less people, so there's not as many people buying multiple prints of Devil's Lake.
Yeah, so like maybe 20% of my business is actually architectural. I just don't advertise it because those people didn't find me through marketing. They didn't find me through Instagram. So like, they just keep calling me and say, "Hey, will you go shoot my building?" And I say, "Sure, I'll shoot it."
Okay.
So with weddings, it was like, I feel like I've been at lots of weddings. I've officiated weddings.
Yeah.
I get weddings and I love people. Like, I really like being around people. I like to figure out what makes them tick. And like, I know a lot of younger people because I'd been a youth pastor. So like, I feel like this is a good fit for me if I can get in. So I put up a website I'd shot a wedding where my brother-in-law had asked me to shoot this wedding for him. Like, he's like, "Hey, would you be willing to come and do this?" And I said, "Sure, I'll do it." And I didn't even have any formal portraits from it because he had another friend that he had to do that was an actual wedding photographer that they had to do the formal portraits. So I'm just like the candid wedding photographer that's trying to stay out of the way of the real wedding photographer. And that gave me enough that I put that up in a portfolio. And 3 days later, I got hired to shoot a wedding.
Wow.
And so I thought at some point, like, even like, why is it called Ruse Photography? Like, I thought I was gonna have to tell all these stories, and eventually I just got busy fast enough that it's hard to, like, I don't know that what happened is reproducible. It just happened. Like, I don't even know I could say to you, like, you probably have like As Goes Wisconsin was viral because this happened and this happened and this happened, and that took it. And I'm just like, all of a sudden, my first year shooting weddings, I shot 15, and then the next year I shot more, and the next year I shot more, and now I shoot a lot.
So in 2022 so far, how many weddings will you shoot?
I have 34 weddings this year.
Wow.
And that's a little bit of a lie because two of those weddings were multiple day events. So it's one of the weddings that I'm listing as 34 is a 3-day event. It's an Indian wedding. It's fusion, and then another one was a 2-day event I just did where the couple, adorable couple.
Are the couples ever not adorable?
These especially adorable.
Okay.
They had the reception first.
Interesting.
They had their reception first at Trimborn Farm, which is in Milwaukee. Okay. And then they had met at Monona Terrace like 17 years
ago. At like a conference?
Yep. They were at a conference and they met there. So they literally did their ceremony at sunrise the next day at the very spot they had cigarettes together 17 years ago. And it was awesome. I took my 11-year-old along. She videotaped some stuff for me. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's really sweet.
It was great.
That's really sweet. So what are the best kind of weddings to shoot? Like, not necessarily, I mean, take out the personalities of the bride and groom, but like big events, small intimate things. Like, what are the things that get you excited? Because are you in the point now where you can kind of like choose who you want?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hard thing is like every year you have to reinvent yourself. So like, it could be that word of mouth will mean that I know some of the people I'm working with next year, but it's still going to be the case that a lot of those people contact me and it's like blind. So I think that part of it is you have to communicate, like all social media, right? You have to communicate the kind of photos you want to take more of. So I've tried to really put up lots and lots of photos and reels of people having a lot of fun, less formal poses.
Which is why we chose you, right? Like Mike was like, these pictures look like they're way more fun than the other pictures. I want to go with this guy. And I was like, okay, let's go.
And I think a strength of mine is if I can get the couple to do the work where like they're not feeling awkward, they're running and having a great time and they're like toasting the champagne bottle and it's actual real expressions on their face and my job is just to capture that, then I don't have to do as much of like the trying to make them look like they belong in GQ magazine when, you know, maybe they aren't a supermodel. Maybe they're just a regularly attractive person, right? So I can do that too, but it's a lot easier if they're having a great time to just document that. And then when they look at those photos, it connects with their memories of having a great time, right? So what one of my friends was a mentor of mine when I was getting started said is that if your couple is having a great time with you, then they're going to like their photos. And I think that's generally true. Like, obviously, you could still screw it up. But as long as their photos are, you know, a well representation of what the good experience they had with you, then they're going to probably look at them with some excitement. One of the wedding photos on my wall is a picture of us running out of the church and like there's like confetti or bubbles or something like that going on. It's just like our faces look ridiculous. We're like running and like I might even be drooling, who knows? But like, I love that photo because that photo takes me back to that day and that was such a special kind of moment. So I try to create those moments as much as I can.
And so what has been like because now it's been 8 years since doing it professionally. So what do you know now that you didn't know then as far as just the learning curve of getting better each year and dealing, is it dealing with personalities?
Some of it's that. I feel like a huge part of my job is helping people to understand the consequences of their choices. So let me give you an example.
That sounds very pastoral.
it's very similar. So couples will often come to me with like a really loose list of the family photos that they want. Like family photos is kind of a different part of the wedding day. Like wedding days have all kinds of different photography. Family photos is usually like the one part of the day that's purposely boring, right? You're going to like shoot a bunch of groups of people in the quickest
different combinations of grandma with XYZ cousins. Yes,
exactly. So I've come up with in response to one particular wedding, I came up with a whole planning document that was guided to help brides make better choices. And so I said, imagine that every single thing you write on this list costs you 2 minutes on your wedding day. How many minutes do you want to invest? Right?
Yeah.
So now you want that photo? I'll take it. 2 minutes. You want that photo? I'll take it. That's going to cost 2 minutes. And maybe it doesn't cost 2 minutes and I seem great because I got through what should have taken 40 minutes and only 20, right? But what it does for most couples is it makes them really say, I don't want to spend more than 30 minutes of my wedding day doing that, which means I need to break this down to what are the 15 groups of family members I really, really want. If they want more, I'll do it. This one couple had 65 groups.
How big was their families?
Not that big, but they wanted one of each possible thing, right?
Okay.
So I said to them, this is going to take 2 hours. And literally 2 hours into it, every person at the wedding is swearing at me because they think it's my fault. And except for a few aunts, they're like, oh, but can we get this one too? Oh, and this one, right? So that's like, the way that I felt at that moment, the way I felt so bad, I felt like, even though it wasn't my fault, even though I tried really hard, I personally was feeling shame about what had happened in that event. I'm like, I don't ever want to feel that way again. so I work really hard to make sure that every bride and groom has the consequences of that choice in their head. Like, this is what that's going to cost. Or like, if on your wedding day you want to go on a tour where you visit every bar you've ever been to in your life in Milwaukee, that's fantastic. Let's just make
sounds
sure
like my day.
Yeah. Let's just make sure that we put in enough time that we can have a great time doing that, right? Yeah. That we don't feel that. Or if you don't do a first look, then by the time you get to your wedding photos, every person at your wedding will have touched you. Will you look your best? Will you feel your best? Will you smile your best if every person at your wedding has touched you, hugged you, looked at you?
Your makeup has rubbed off on right. How many shoulders of men that right? you've hugged.
And you've maybe stood in the sun and cried. Are you going to look? How do we make you look your best at that point? And usually they'll be like, let's do a first look. But if they...
Well, that was the same thing, because I think we even talked about it, because at first I thought it would be fun to have the first time Mike sees me is walking down the aisle. Yeah. And you talked me out of it, because you were like, listen, like, then I'm trying to like get both of you and take pictures of both of you versus a first look. Like, you can get both of you. The whole reason you do it is so you can get both of you in the same shot and get both of your reactions.
Right,
so it's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that because I'm not a photographer.
There's other ways to do that too, right? So someone could hire, they could have me bring, like,
another person.
You guys are choosing to work with just me, right? So the other times people choose to work with me, and then I'll hire a second shooter so that you can get, then maybe that offsets it, because now one person can look at the groom and one person can look at the bride. You get their full reaction all the way down the aisle, right? That's great. But you still then would need to have a strategy for after my outside wedding in August, how do I repaint myself so that I look fresh after standing in the sun for an hour, right? It can be done.
Yeah, I have already thought about that. I was like, oh man, how melted am I going to be? Because it is outside and it is August.
So we'll figure it out. I'll bring a fan.
Yeah, exactly. So as far as like the juicy stories that will be anonymous, but what are some of the
your wedding photographer knows if you're going to be divorced within a year.
Really?
100%. I'm 100% on prediction.
Do you ever follow up? Like, do you follow? Because I imagine that probably with social media now.
With social media, you find out.
What is your hit rate?
100%.
No, so you've always been in your mind.
It's not been very many couples. You know what? I lied. There's one couple I didn't predict. I'm 2 for 3.
Wow. What happened on the wedding day? Or like, what was it that you were like, this is not good?
I think because of one of the things I wish sometimes I could turn down a little bit is like, I'm a super observer, right? So if I'm in a room, like, I'm observing things and I can kind of see out of the corner of my eye, I can kind of see how groups are functioning, like the movement of the group, right? So you can read the energy of a room
and you
can kind of see like where the energy's moving around, right? And there'll be times where like during a reception where you look at the bride and groom and you think, the energy of this room, like, their energy is not together. That could be because they're having a fight, but it's like their wedding day, so you'd think it would be. But like, she's got more energy with that group of people, of which there are two kind of alpha male dudes in there that are like, there's a lot of energy between them, right? And then later you find out that, sure enough, there was a lot of energy.
There was a lot of energy. Oh, that's interesting. So it's more like, it's not outward fights, it's just where are they gravitated to?
I mean, there are times where you wonder, but like, there's lots of squabbling couples have been married for 50 years miserably, right? Like, that's not necessarily a sign of like whether they're going to stay married or not.
Which, and that is also true. It's like, just because you stay married doesn't mean you should be married.
Yeah, 100%. I think though that like it all depends, right? Because some couples have been together for like 10 or 15 years, even living together for that time. That's going to feel very different than a couple that's like, you know, in their mid-20s, and this is like, they're fresher with life, they're fresher with each other, they've got less experience together. So you can mistake those two things. Because that calmer, deeper love, it's like they just have been sort of pre-married longer than, like, so their marriage is more of like a finally putting the official, you know, making it official. It's still beautiful and wonderful, but it's not going to feel quite the same as the love that these younger are closer to being married people are. Okay, this is hilarious.
Well, no, we gotta take a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Save the story. We'll save the story. We'll do the story when we get back. As Goes Wisconsin, Kristen Fry. Get your paws off my torture cologne.